and welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. This is Matt Hickey with host Mike.
Hi.
And McBridge. How are we doing tonight?
I'm lovely. It is a very nice evening in Pennsylvania.
It is not a very nice evening in Indiana. It is storming like mad.
Yeah, well, it's not a nice day in Indiana because it's the day that ends in Y.
Aw.
Hey.
Aww, that's
just kidding. I love Indiana. What are you talking about? Well, we want to start episode first. I want to give a shout out to my dad. My dad actually just announced to his employer that he's retiring at the end of the year and gets to spend the rest of his days listening to Pit Lane Parlay on repeat.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Congratulations, but I'm also sorry.
Yeah, I think that's actually not an incentive for him. I would go back to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so shout out, Dad. Congratulations. A lot of hard work over the years. Hope you enjoy retirement and make sure when you're traveling that you do queue up a couple episodes so you can listen to McBridge and I make fun of Mike every now and then. So yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats. And hopefully Mrs. Hickey has a lot of patience. That's what I hear retirement is about from the wife's vantage point. But I guess I got a long time until I retire, probably like 60.
What, like 4 years?
I was waiting for you to say that. So anyway, I have an announcement for the show before we kind of dive into some silly season stuff and Portland preview. The show is now part of Evergreen Podcast Network. We're super excited and honored to be recruited by these guys. They have a whole bunch of history shows and fiction podcasts. And you might know a guy by the name of Bruce Martin has his show on there as well. So honored to team up with them. And you'll hear some of our promos on other shows, and you'll hear other promos on our shows. And they'll be doing some marketing for us and a lot of really cool stuff. So if you want to check them out, go to evergreenpodcast.com and we'll tag them on social media so you can have all that fun info available to check all their stuff out. They had a bunch that were just nominated for People's Choice Podcast Awards, which I didn't know was a thing until literally just now, but the more you learn, the better you are. So, Matt, where do you want to start this?
Well, do we just set a new goal for ourselves to get on to
the People's Choice Podcast?
Can I get like Clown of the Year or something?
Yeah, you can get like a Weirdo Gen Z of the Year award or something.
Oh, Gen Z! I'm not a Gen Z.
Yeah, but now listen, you call me old, so I'm gonna call you Gen Z.
That is like equally offensive to me. All right, well, let's toss it over to McBridge and Mike. I might as well take the next 5 to 10 minutes off and go grab a beer or something. But why don't you guys talk about your NHRA weekend and the fun activities you guys did with Destig and whatever other fun things you guys did this weekend while I just sit here and smile and nod.
So I'll start. It was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it rained Saturday, so the original plan was to check out karting on Saturday and do some coverage for that. And so not only was Matt Gruenholz karting, but a little guy by the name of Asher Farish and Asher's Racing, who we sponsor every summer, was also racing. So we did get to see them on Sunday. I'll start with karting since I'm talking about that. It was my first time at Newcastle Motorsports Park. Really cool track. A lot of fun. It was a really long day. I think there was like 8 hours of karting or something like that by the time it got started, which didn't help. There was actually a pretty nasty accident in one of the races. Thankfully, everybody was okay, but it was really cool to see Stig come home. He got the pole in the first in qualifying and then came home P2 in the pre-final and the final race, which was at like 11:30 at night. And I was like barely awake. And also it was like 20 degrees colder than it was during the day there. So it was a long day, but it was really fun. I enjoyed it. And I hope to, I don't know, maybe do a little more kart coverage here and there. It was fun to see these guys battle it out. And Stig, not during his race, but during his team's owner's race or team boss. I don't really know. Stig can correct me on that one. Owner. So yes, sorry. I had Shannon on mute there for a second by mistake. you can yell at me for that later, but
the hell.
Yeah. So you know, it was really fun. He even took out a giant rubber mallet to fix his owner's cart when there was some damage on that from a pretty crazy accident. And I guess the only other thing I have from that is shout out to Little Asher for having a tough start to the race and really rebounding and doing very well before in 1 second having both of the tie rods snap on his front tires, which I accidentally said was amazing, because when you look at the accident, like, you're just like, holy shit, I can't believe this happened in real time, because he hits two carts at once and there's no other damage on the cart other than the tie rods. But I also realized he was like 6 or 7. I don't remember. Sorry, Asher. And he's 8. See, this is why we have other people smarter on than me sometimes. And he gave me a hard time for saying it was amazing. But Asher, I did ask for your autograph and you did not have a Sharpie with you. So lessons for the future. I'm going to be the first one to have an Asher autograph.
Are you criticizing a 9-year-old?
8-year-old.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you criticizing an 8-year-old? Yes. As if that made it any better for you?
Yes, yes. But Asher's a good kid, and he's got a bright future ahead of him in karting. And it was a lot of fun just kind of, you know, taking in the racetrack from a different vantage point. Shannon, would you like to give your NHRA thoughts?
Oh, that was very fun. I haven't been to an NHRA.
You know, I was trying to figure out what you call it. Match, race?
What do you call match?
Hickey, what are we calling NHRA?
Weren't you guys credentialed there? How would I know? I'm not the one who was at the track.
Yeah, fair.
The event. I haven't been to an NHRA event in several years. And so it was fun to go back. Shout out to Pat Caporelli for getting us at the start-finish line, essentially. I forgot how much that nitro fuel burns your eyeballs and your nose.
Yeah, that is one thing I really was not expecting, and I know Matt has a very confused look on his face right now. The fastest car there are, the nitro fuel, literally, if you're not wearing sunglasses, you are crying at the start-finish line because of the way it smells. And I mean, it physically, like, your nose and your sinuses hurt. I don't really know how to describe it other than that I was warned beforehand, so I was prepared. But, you know, again, thank you to Pat Caporelli for bringing us down there. But she didn't have sunglasses on and literally didn't watch those heats. Like, she turned around, but when they were about to go, and it was unreal how, like, my nose, my sinuses hurt for like a half hour after being down on the start finish line.
I was just thinking that there's something that looked better about your face today. So maybe you should just be a regular on the tour.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's like a compliment or not a compliment. Like, I'm very conflicted.
I'm saying you look glowing today.
Oh, I'm in different lighting than normal. Maybe, you know what? I'm just going to take the compliment, run with it, and move on. NHRA.
David?
NHRA was super cool. It was, I didn't really know what to expect because I don't watch it a ton. I've never been before, but it was a lot of fun. It was pretty entertaining. The only thing I'm going to say I didn't enjoy were the Harleys or the motorcycle, whatever the motorcycle series was that ran. They pretty much, whatever. They sounded like,
they weren't Harleys though. Please tell me they were not actually Harleys.
They're not Harleys.
I'm pretty sure they're very sophisticated, like Yamahas or something.
Yeah, they're drag bikes. They're not Harleys.
Well,
oh no, here goes the Google. Yeah. No, you said lighting earlier and I said David and no one laughed. Every time you say the word lighting as far as like a light fixture or the act of getting light. Oh, he said lighting and I didn't
understand what you were saying either. To be fair, there Harley Davidson was associated with NHRA for a very long time. So I'm not completely.
No, that doesn't help your argument here.
Okay.
Oldsmobile was also an IndyCar manufacturer once. Does that mean we get to claim that the IndyCars are now Oldsmobiles?
I'm
just using a car manufacturer from your era.
Yeah, I feel like you're like. So for those wondering,
I feel like
we record F1
Bridges fault.
And IndyCar in the same night. And so IndyCar is the second recording tonight. And your level of savage has increased like 30-fold in the last 15 minutes.
I like you, just for the
yes,
record.
Yes, I know.
don't approach Mike and ask why he gets hate on, and don't approach me and ask me why. Well, you can't approach me and ask why I'm an asshole. That's a fair question.
Yes, it is.
Number two, I feel like this is just what McBridge just brings out of me.
That's totally fair. Anyway, it was a blast to be there. Thanks to NHRA PR Allie Bland, who got us media passes to be there. So it was fun. Oh, and we got to hang out with Eric Smith for a while. So he put up with me too this weekend.
My man.
So, and congrats to Eric for the birth of his third child. I think it was 2 weeks ago at this point, but you know, we're slow on the announcements.
Yeah. We're a little late on that one. All right. Well, if we have nothing else there, I think it's a pretty slow news week. We had a scoop today from a pretty good source of ours that Dan Ticktum should be a shoe-in for one of the final three races at a team that has not been announced yet.
Yeah.
We're pretty confident in our source. Obviously, things can change, and if there is a correction we need to make, we'll make that if something changes with that. But the leading assumption is that even though Ticktum does drive for Carlin currently in F2, the leading assumption is that it would be for Juncos given the nature of the rotating seats they have going on for the final three races. Ticktum is in Monza this weekend, so obviously we don't expect it for Portland, and Callum Ilott's already in. But I would keep an eye on his name for Laguna Seca, and
especially Laguna Seca, because there's no F2 race that weekend, and the race the weekend after that, I don't know if there is. I don't. 2021 season here. Let's look. So we have Russia the weekend of Long Beach, and there's no F2, so there's plenty of time for Ticktum to, I guess, potentially do either. Maybe Long Beach makes sense. I don't know about, you know, quarantine rules or restrictions right now with COVID popping up all over the place again, so I guess we'll see. But I've been told by two people yes, one person was a little more skeptical, so I guess we'll find out. But it definitely would be a very divisive person to bring into IndyCar. I'll just leave it at that. He's got a checkered past.
So do I. Nobody holds it against me.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you guys are rough tonight. I'm taking the rest of the episode off.
Wait, I admitted that I had a checkered past. I didn't even throw.
Yeah, that's.
Or did she say that you did?
I said I did.
Yeah, we both said that we did. I just assumed.
I just assumed I was being made fun of
there
again.
There you go again, assuming. No, we both have our history.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it, but I haven't gotten in like a Twitter fight in a pretty long time. Now that I say that.
Oh, you're doomed.
Yeah, I know. I'm doomed now, but yeah, I mean, if someone wants, because I've seen a couple of things that went around with Ticktum, I obviously probably don't have the whole story as to why he is so disliked by some. So if I'm missing something, I would love an explanation on that. I'll just, you know, see what he's like on the track, give him a fair shake and assessment of his driving ability, and, you know, kind of try to scope him out as a person once I learn more about him. But unfortunately, I just don't know enough about him. I know that he was with Red Bull at one point, and I think he either messed up somewhere, mouthed it off too much, because then he got let go, and now he recently got let go by Williams. I think that
the last couple
had
weeks.
Something to do with him making fun of Latifi on a Twitch stream.
I'm told it happened that it was just bad timing that he was let go. The decision to let him go was before the Twitch stream, although the Twitch stream definitely didn't help his case.
Well, he said that he'd rather be the best driver in F2 than the worst driver in F1, and I'm not sure I agree.
No, that's a terrible take.
That's a terrible take. I would so much rather be the most irrelevant driver on the Formula One grid than being the best driver of the JV League. It's like being a 4,000-yard passer in JV QB than like the second-string varsity QB. Like, I'd rather so much rather be on the varsity team than just be, you know, Mr. Irrelevant in F2. That's just my take.
Yeah.
I don't know if Shannon has any thoughts before we move on.
I don't really have any thoughts. I have seen the takes coming from Twitter, and people aren't very happy, and I think there is a YouTube video out there about why people don't like him so much, so maybe we can find that and brush up. But
I mean, I think it was a while ago, other than maybe these last claims with Williams, but I'm just hoping that maybe he's grown up some and won't bring too much violence to the track.
I think that's fair. I don't have anything else to add to that one, but should we talk about Callum Ilott?
Did we not talk about him last week?
No.
Was it the usual
yes.
announced after
in
our...
In typical PLP fashion, it was announced within 12 hours of recording.
There we go. All right. Well, brace for impact tomorrow, I guess. I guess Wednesday is just the hot day for news. I mean, so Portland's coming up this weekend, so there's bound to be something to announce tomorrow. So Callum Ilott is going to be racing for Yumcos, which is what everybody predicted, right? He's driving the Yumcos Hollinger entry for the round of Portland, and they actually did already do a test session at the Grand Prix venue at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to get up to speed, shake down, things like that. I remember reading some of his quotes, and he was distinctly taken aback by the lack of power steering. But he is one of these guys that falls into this category that we've been ranting about on the F1 side, where an F2 driver who's super talented but just cannot seem to break into Formula 1 for this or that reason, mostly probably the financial side of things. I mean, he just missed out beating Mick Schumacher in the F2 title last year.
Yes.
So excited to see him come to IndyCar for a race. Hopefully this blossoms into something because he's an incredible talent. So, Shannon, what do you make of Ilott to Yumcos Hollinger at Portland?
I'm all for it. I am agree with what you said. Some of these really good F2 or 3 drivers who just, it's not that they can't swing it in F1. They can't afford it. And so I will happily bring all that good talent to us and just add more talent to our grid. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Callum other than that I think, Matt, when we were first ranting about the academy system last week or the week before, we were both saying that Callum Ilott would be one we'd like to see in IndyCar. So we kind of did technically predict it. So we can give her, stop staring at me.
Anything to give yourself credit, man.
Yeah, listen, and the one thing that I found pretty interesting from the test was, so they ran the IMS road course layout, but they used the oval turn one instead of the current road course turn one. So it was slightly modified, which I found relatively interesting. I don't know if it means anything, if they were just testing it like that because that's how the track was set up for something else. But yeah, I'm super excited to see how he does. I hope he is in the media bullpen this weekend. I'd love a chance to talk to him for a couple minutes. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I'm hopeful that this new Yumcos venture is successful because I think it would do very well for IndyCar to have Ricardo Yumcos be in IndyCar for a while.
Yeah, so really pumped for that one. The only other thing we got to get to really before Portland on a otherwise pretty slow news week is Charlie Kimball is back for Long Beach. I don't know the full story, but I am going to go ahead and assume that this is some sort of ode to not making the Indy 500 field. I don't know if there's a sponsorship obligation or something, plus it's somewhat sort of kind of his home race per se. I mean, it's in his home state. So we get to see Charlie Kimball at Long Beach in the third Foyt entry. So pretty pumped about that. And if you didn't hear Shannon, she sounds pretty pumped about that. So that's cool.
Yay.
Other than that, we can just kind of glide right into Portland. So McBridge, you're done for the year, correct?
Travel wise, that is.
Yeah.
No, are you just like checked out for the year too? So
yeah,
Mike will
COVID,
be.
So. All my days are gone now.
And then Mike's going to the next two.
Yes.
That sounds so awful going from the East Coast to Portland, back to the East Coast, and then to.
Yes, I'd prefer not to, but given everything going on in the world right now, I don't really. It's just, it's hard to find a place to stay for a couple days, make it a
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
10-day trip or something like that. So
hit up Keith Tyron.
Yeah, Keith, if you're listening.
For Laguna's
brother up. Need somewhere to stay.
Long Beach, why don't you just sneak under the Queen Mary?
Long Beach is the one I
won't
be at.
Which is apparently
at,
sinking.
So.
Oh, damn it.
But fair point, yes.
So the top five from Portland in 2019 when we went there last was Will Power 1, Rosenquist 2nd, Rossi 3rd, Herta 4th, Newgarden 5th. This was not the one that Dixon did his secret jujitsu in, right? No, Dixon finished several laps. Oh, he had a mechanical issue. That was 2018 when Dixon did his jujitsu on everybody. But we did have Ray Hall cause a multi-car crash in this one. This is the one that Erickson was called into emergency third driver duties at Alpha, giving Connor Daly the chance to show off his prowess for the seat next season as a tryout. And obviously it did not work because Daly did not get the ride and despite his excellent pace was crashed out immediately with Hinch and Veach. So nice job, Graham. Jack Harvey crashed, Hunter Ray crashed, Ferrucci had an electrical issue despite running well. I had a comment today. I was talking about how excited I was for Portland because I think it's one of the most underrated tracks on the IndyCar schedule. And a user said that, I think his name is Michael, said that them changing that one turn, the turn number escapes me, but it's the one that leads onto the backstretch where they increase the angle and the apex of the turn to allow drivers to get a good run out of the corner instead of like a nice smooth run out of the corner has significantly made the track better. And I 100% agree because that first year, Jack Harvey was making moves left and right in that turn. And it was like, wow, you know, you're watching Zanardi and Moore and Franchitti back in the day and nobody can pass there. There's like one place to pass and that's turn one or into the final section. So I guess two places. So where do you guys kind of rank Portland among the good tracks, the good road courses on the calendar? And I guess a part two, if you're feeling up for it, is there any tracks that could maybe learn from what Portland did, which is one subtle change and like almost the whole track got a little better?
That's a fantastic second part of your question there.
I feel like Barber could do like, I feel like if Barber changed one part of their track, which obviously I don't know off the top of my head, like, you know, their triple chicane.
Yes.
If they made that just like one smooth downhill turn where you just, instead of doing like a left, right thing, like you just did like a downhill right and then a hard right.
That would increase passing. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Something. Cause I don't, what is that? I mean, it's like cool for photos and it's cool for the onboard shot, but like that turn basically serves no purpose.
Yes, that's
So something like that. That's kind of what I'm alluding to.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I'm trying to think if there's any other track that could use a change like that. That's just one change. And, you know, naturally, because you put me on the spot, I have no idea.
Well, the obvious answer, and I don't know if there's just one change, but the obvious answer is Nashville. I mean, you got to make some changes on Nashville.
Yeah, or like what you said about the test with just changing the changing the layout for the Grand Prix circuit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did say that.
Just if they're going to run it twice a year, just doing it once.
Right, that's what exactly what I was going to say. If we're going to run it twice, can't we run each configuration? And then it's not the same race every time.
Now, can you stop with the logic?
Yeah, we don't allow that much logic on this show.
I really hired that to be very logical.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point all around there. I'm definitely excited to be there. Portland it's one of the easier tracks to get around, which really is all I care about. Is it easy to walk around? And it is. So that's, you know, I'm happy there. I'm happy I can be like slightly lazy, and it's on the West Coast, so I can actually fly home on Sunday night and get an extra day at home, which is like, instead of, you know, 2 days at home, I'll have like 2.5 days at home.
Shannon, any thoughts on Portland?
Twice as much work.
Yes, I will have twice as much work because somebody can't travel.
Oh, boohoo!
Yeah.
I rank Portland probably top four. And road courses, I really like it. Road America is my favorite, though. And Watkins Glen, which we don't go to anymore. But, yeah, Portland's one of my favorite races. And I've never been because I haven't traveled to the West Coast, and they weren't running it when I was working. So.
Yeah, last time I was on the West Coast, I got engaged.
Mm, why'd you do that?
Ooh, I will.
What do you mean, why'd
not
I do
going
that?
To that?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Listen.
So, I don't know. I mean, championship wise, let me pull up the Bible here. I love that the 2019 Portland Grand Prix, it has like the Bible, which is Racing Reference, has, you know, everything neatly displayed for the sponsor owner, but then for poor Charlie Kimball, it just says Trevor Carlin. Like, doesn't name a sponsor in bold or anything. It just says Trevor Carlin. That was his only sponsor, I guess, for that race. So point situation. Pato has a 10-point lead over Pelot. Newgarden 22 back. Dixon 43 back. Erickson's got some work to do with minus 60. And then everybody else is theoretically eliminated at this point. So one of those five, we got three Ganassi, a Penske, and a McLaren in there. No Andretti Autosport representation in that top five. So Herdo's going to need to ball out and have utter misery on the top five to even have a chance when we get to Long Beach. So there's that, and then the rookie of the year, Grosjean is at 222, and McLaughlin is at 245. What in the world is happening here? So Grosjean is definitely in shot for rookie of the year, despite not racing the Indy 500 and Texas, which is just madness to me.
Yeah, and
I love
yes.
every ounce of it.
It's you know, the rookie of the year is not something that I think we predicted at the beginning of the year would be. I think unanimously you and I picked McLaughlin because, well, he's running every race. But my question is, so you said Newgarden is 22 points back, right?
Yes.
So let's assume it's a three-horse race for the championship at this point, and question will go to both you guys.
Don't count out.
I'm not counting out. Okay, fine. Let's make it a four-horse race. Yeah, okay. Let's call it a four-horse race with Scott Dixon, because, yes, I've said a million times, don't bet against Scott Dixon, and every time I say that, I always bet against Scott Dixon that week. So, three races to go, Scott Dixon's 40 points back. Is there one driver you think stands the best chance of taking the lead away from Pato over this last triple-header stretch here? You have to pick one of the four remaining. Who is your championship winner?
Championship winner or championship leader after this?
Championship
race?
Winner.
Championship winner. I have positive vibes on Newgarden with these final three races. He's a natural road course knockout, and then he's been very strong at Long Beach before. So I think these final three venues, I mean, I think Pelot is going to be very strong too, but I think Newgarden gets the edge for me.
I don't think we'll see it wrapped up until Long Beach, because I bet you, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. None of the top five win this race this weekend.
I dig it. Okay. Well, do I have to pick different than both of you guys, Matt, or can I agree with one of you? Okay, I'm agreeing with Matt.
What?
I know this is a very rare occasion here, but I.
No, 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 no. Hang on. I didn't know you were going to agree with me, so pick someone else, because now I'm jinxed.
No, it's too late. I'm not changing my answer. I'm.
Sorry, Joseph Newgarden. Apologize to him now.
Screw you guys. I'm picking.
You act like we don't have like actionable evidence as to why we think this way.
I know. Relax. Okay. Well, now that you guys have made fun of me enough, now do we have anything else, or should we get to predictions?
Well, you didn't say why Newgarden.
I just think he's on a great hot streak right now, and you know that's in any sport. The teams or drivers that win the championships are the ones that get hot at the right time, and he's hot at the right time.
All right, well, let's get to predictions. I'm going to selfishly go first because, as you're going to find out in the F1 episode tomorrow, Mike stole all my recap driver of the day, disappointments of the day for Zandvoort. Kind of salty about that one. So I'm going to go first so I can attempt to steal some of his answers. For Portland to do good, I'm going to say Scott Dixon. So piss off, Mike, especially since you've decided to count him out for the rest of ever, which is words you just said 5 minutes ago, and I can prove it. Shannon, who do you have doing good this weekend?
Well, I don't want to pick the same one as you.
No, that's disallowed.
So, I'm going to go with Will.
That was the best false start in the history of predictions.
I am going to go with Marcus Ericsson.
Okay, respect. All right.
I'm pretty sure, Mike, one time you said, I'm going to go with Dalton Kitten. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did that.
Let's not get bogged down on details.
Are you drunk right now? You Gen Zers are making up all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh,
so for my good prediction, I will go with, let's see here. I'm gonna say Pato. Yeah, I think he's gonna have a good race this weekend.
Look at us all doing championship protagonists as our peoples. Bad. I am gonna go ahead and say that, given the unfortunate nature of his last several races, I think there's some sort of racing god that has some sort of something against Alex Palou. So I think Alex Palou is going to have some sort of unfortunate thing again happen to him this weekend. Hopefully just a minor mechanical failure and nothing major. Okay. But it just seems like he's having a rough couple weeks with stuff out of his control.
Do I get to go?
I'm going to go.
No, okay.
No, I get to go. I'm going to go with Alexander Rossi. And that was a jinx.
I think you tried that last time and it didn't work.
I did.
No.
It didn't. But I'm just.
That's fair. I mean, I respect the effort. So I will go with Scott Dixon. I'm going to bet. Listen, you said I wasn't going to bet against Scott Dixon, or I said I wasn't going to bet against Scott Dixon, but let's go for a hot take here. Scott Dixon's going to have a bad weekend.
All right, well, your loss. Dark Horse top 10. I mentioned him earlier as a guy who does really well here and can make some pretty impressive passes. I'm going to go with Jack Harvey as a Dark Horse top 10, who, as long as his pit box doesn't fuck it up for him, I think he'll do just fine and bring home a good result because he's very fast. Is Elio racing the last three races?
Yes.
I think he is, right? All right, we got Elio for the last three races, which probably means that his pit box is going to be calling better strategies than Harvey's. You know, logic and all. Shannon, who do you got?
I got Graham Rahal.
Okay, well.
Wait, you were going to pick Rahal? He's not a dark horse top 10. The guy finishes top 10 like it's for breakfast.
Yeah, but he qualified.
Yeah, but he just doesn't ever really do anything. I mean, like, he finishes, but he doesn't ever, like, sound exciting. They're just like, oh, great, finish in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna allow that one because with the way he qualifies,
as if it's your decision. Gen Z's run the world, man.
No, the boomers do. So.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate
so,
that.
So. I think Rahal and his lack of qualifying this year puts him as a dark horse top 10 like every week, even though he mainly finishes in the top 10.
Yeah, he's finished outside of the top 10 four times. One was Ed Jones's fault, and the other was he was like in the top three at Indy when his tire
fell
off.
How many races in are we?
We've done 13. So 9 out of 13, 2 I would hardly consider
his
fault.
That's 31% of the races.
Yeah, but it still happens.
It does still happen, but I think he's got like the second most. He's got more than Pillow. He's got more than Newgarden. No, he's tied with Newgarden. One less than Dixon. I mean, he's in like Dixon. He's in like championship running territory with top 10. I mean, Mike said he's allowing it. I guess that's written in stone.
You're welcome. Anyway,
boomer.
It's my birthday week. You can allow whatever you want.
Happy birthday, by the way. Happy early birthday. By the race day is your birthday, correct?
Saturday.
Okay.
Only 35 more years to go to catch to Mike.
Well, Christ. My dark horse top 10 is going to be Oliver Askew in that third Rahal car for the remainder of the season.
I forgot he was racing. Holy shit. I'm like, why did you just pick? What is?
I just have to say for those who are listening and can't see everybody's face right now, I was just looked at like I was a moron for picking somebody who wasn't racing.
I forgot he was racing. Yes, we forgot to announce that. Askew's in the high V car for the final three rounds. Good job, Mike. Thanks for covering our gaps there.
You're welcome.
I'm going to pretend you did that on purpose.
You Gen Zers forget to get to all the news beforehand.
Yes, because you don't forget anything ever.
What happens when you leave Mickey in charge?
funny. So yes, Askew's in the final three rounds, so congrats to Oliver. So yes.
That's it.
Wondering if there's a tryout there.
I'd say so.
So yes, that's kind of it for the episode. Shannon, hope you have a fun birthday. Do we got anything else, Mike?
Nope. I am just pulling up the app to go over the times real quick. So these times are Eastern time. Practice one is at noon on Saturday. So this is just a Saturday-Sunday show. Qualifying starts at 3:15 Eastern on Peacock. And then the race is on Big NBC Sunday afternoon at 3:30 Eastern. I don't think there's too much pre-race coverage. I think Green Flag is like 3:45 or something like that, but I will tweet that out Thursday or Friday when I get a hard copy of the schedule in my hand. So yeah, that's it. If anybody's going to be there, let me know. I land Thursday night, so I'll be at the track probably early Friday morning throughout the weekend. And yeah, I think that's it. McBridge, thanks for hanging out and making fun of me for the last 40 minutes, and happy birthday. And ladies and gentlemen, have a lovely weekend of racing.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.